We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Very excited to have our next guest on the show. Dinesh D'Souza, award-winning filmmaker of Death of a Nation, joins us now. Dinesh, so great to have you on the show today.
Hey, great to be on the show.
So when you hear Chuck Schumer say that he never thought Kavanaugh should be on the bench and he still doesn't today, you can't be too terribly surprised by that statement, right?
Not at all. But I think what should surprise us is the kind of ruthless willingness of these characters to seize upon dubious reasons to try to yank this man off the bench. In fact, it kind of mirrors what they've been trying to do to Trump. I'm sure Schumer didn't like the outcome of the 2016 presidential election either, but it's one thing to say, I don't like the outcome, and another thing to say, look, I'm going to use all these nefarious and underhanded schemes to try to undo something that was actually done lawfully through the democratic process.
You know, I've watched Death of a Nation, and I just think it's absolutely must-view video documentary that you've put together that when I'm watching your film, and I've watched it many times, I have to, like, pause it and sit and soak it in because there's so much information that just makes so much so clear for Americans who are watching this. And it feels as though Republicans live in a different reality than Democrats do. And one of the things that you talk about in your movie Death of a Nation, also in your books The Big Lie, among others, is how that's kind of purposeful, that there is kind of a thought control that goes on with far-left progressivism to control words, our vocabulary, the way we consume information. It's a very purposeful thing.
Yes, we have, through the media, an effort to establish conformity in the way that we think and speak now. And then we have, through academia, the academic left, the progressive left in academia, an attempt to establish conformity, a kind of preferred narrative of American history. Now, it's a very distorted narrative. It camouflages all kinds of things. It hides all kinds of crimes perpetrated by the Democratic Party. So to give you, now take a small example, in 1860, this is the year before the Civil War, out of approximately 4 million slaves in America at the time, there were approximately 10 to maybe 50 that were not owned by Democrats. In other words, almost all the slaves in the United States on the eve of the Civil War were owned by one party and not the other. And yet this is all smudged over in the history books. In fact, to my knowledge, there's not a single textbook, there's not a single show on PBS or the History Channel that has ever divulged this simple, irrefutable fact. And so this is just an illustration of how the left has pushed inconvenient truths under the carpet. They're not teaching them to young people at all.
Yeah, I think it's such an important reality to understand for people who are trying to watch the news and understand how you can just flip a channel and see something so impossibly different based on what sort of media you choose to consume. Another consistency that we see across the country, here we're in St. Louis, but in Baltimore, which was highlighted recently, even by the president, is the consistency in Democratic leadership. Democratic leadership that wins election after election and telling you what's going to happen if the other guy wins. If the Republican wins this race, then all of these bad things are going to happen. But the poverty-stricken areas run by these Democrats, it never changes over the course of decades, and the Democratic leadership holds. How do you explain that?
Well, I explain it sort of this way. While the Republicans emphasize a ladder of opportunity, the Democrats emphasize what can be called the rope. They're sort of like they're standing on a building, and they let down a rope, and they say to poor people and to minorities, hey, hang on to that rope. I'm going to pull you up to the top. And then they pull you up but only halfway, and then they hold. And so suddenly you realize, wow, I'm too high from the ground to let go, because then down I'll go, and yet no one's actually elevating me out of poverty. I'm now completely dependent on these guys who are holding the rope. I'm beholden to them, and I sort of have no place to go. So there's a kind of learned helplessness that the Democrats have introduced among these, almost you can call them captive populations, and they are politically beneficial to the Democrats, although not a whole lot is done to relieve their condition.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a middle ground where they seem to be stuck, and neither side seems to be that appealing. I would say the president has done a lot with his economic policies, his deregulation of many things to try to do that one thing that raises all boats, the economy soaring the way it does right now, job availability, where employees are a hot commodity, and wage growth. Do you think that the economy under this president and the way that he has led this country in office for these 3 years might allow those people who live in lower income areas to see the benefits of what this president's administration has to offer?
Well, to a degree, yes. I do think that in some ways, certainly a rising tide is going to lift a lot of boats. But it's also true that there are these pockets in inner cities, not just in the black areas, but also in the Latino barrios, and there are white areas as well, where the problem is that you need a sort of package of ingredients to fix the problem. First of all, no businesses are going to locate in areas that are have high crime rates and no security. So the irony is that you have the war against the cops and all this sort of stuff, and the cops will then retreat out of these terrible areas and sort of leave them be, because if they go there, they're called racist, and so they don't go. And so as a result, these places become very dangerous. It's difficult for businesses to conduct business. So you need a combination of security and opportunity. And then, of course, training. You need education, because in some sense, what's the point of having all these jobs available if the young people graduating from school and sometimes college don't have the capacity to fill these jobs? They don't have the skills, the knowledge. So the education systems are broken down in these. So it's a kind of ecosystem, a dysfunctional ecosystem that the left has created and is kind of happy with, because it delivers 90% of the vote into their pocket. So if Trump could figure out a way to break that cycle, the effect of it would be politically cataclysmic.
We're speaking with Dinesh D'Souza, the award-winning filmmaker of Death of a Nation, also an author of a whole bunch of must-read books, on Twitter at Dinesh D'Souza. I want to ask you about these Democratic candidates to win the nomination to take on Trump. The last debate, which I watched, they illustrated a bunch of problems facing the United States of America, ones that I think that in some cases you'd have Republicans agree on the problem. But the solution for these Democrats is always provided by government, and only if you elect these Democrats. For instance, Beto O'Rourke was saying that our country was founded on slavery in the 1600s. And I guess he's making the case that if you elect Beto O'Rourke in 2020, he's finally going to take care of this 400-year-old problem. I mean, what kind of arrogance and elitism exists when an entire party suggests that all of these problems can only be solved by the greatest thing this country has to offer, its government?
Well, first of all, there's a lot going on in this statement. Beto is probably picking up on the New York Times' so-called 1619 project, which is very cunning. Let's think of what they're trying to do. They're trying to basically say America from the root, from the beginning, was sort of founded on slavery and white supremacy. Now, in 1619, at best count, there were exactly 20 slaves in America. So the idea that they were somehow fundamental to the economy, you know, it's nonsense. So the great plantation system that sustained slavery in the United States was a product of the 19th century. It wasn't until Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin in 1793 that the cotton plantation system, if you will, began to explode. And Interestingly, in the early 19th century, which is to say in the late 1820s, a new party was founded, a.k.a. the Democratic Party, to be the defender and apologist and sustainer of the plantation system. So, interestingly, what Beto O'Rourke and the New York Times are trying to do is shift the blame for slavery off of the Democratic Party, where it actually belongs, and to push it on to some, you know, the pilgrims in 1619, they're the true initiators of this. No, slavery exploded in the 19th century. That's when it became central to the Industrial Revolution and to the American economy. And so there's a cover-up going on here, a cover-up in the interest of the very party that poisoned the wells and is now pretending to show up as the water commissioner.
Yeah, it is very disconcerting and a true understanding that they don't feel that this country inherently is a great country, certainly that it needs to be remade. I want to ask you one last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Dinesh D'Souza. On the immigration issue, the president continues to push for a wall. He continues to push for immigration reform. I don't know that he's ever going to get that done congressionally, but you have a strong opinion on the immigration issue as an immigrant yourself, or from a family of immigrants. Do you think this president is going to be able to successfully convey his message on the need for immigration reform with the media pressure that he has, that is constantly labeling him as the racist because of what he's trying to do?
Well, so the political move here is that what the left is trying to do is blur the distinction between the legal and the illegal. And they're doing this because they want to make it look like Trump is, quote, against Mexicans or against immigrants. Now, he's not against immigrants. His wife's an immigrant. But what he is against is illegals. Now, the point about the illegals is that the illegals are not only an affront to native-born Americans, they're not just breaking American laws, but they're ultimately cutting the line and depriving people like me or my family or people from India, where I was born, from their place in line. It's kind of like a family that comes into Disneyland, they get into the line for Space Mountain, and they cut the line. And you're like, hey, get out of the line, I'm in the line. So the point here is that, you know, if you're born in Bombay, you can't swim the Rio Grande or jump over a wall or a fence. You have to stand in a very long line. And so my point is, let's all get in line. If you want to change the immigration laws, do that. But the very idea that we have a Democratic Party that's a party of lawlessness, pretending, if you will, that illegals are the same as people who have come here lawfully through the lawful process, I mean, this is really outrageous.
It absolutely is. I'd encourage everybody to check out Death of a Nation. I have it downloaded on my Amazon. And I got to say, Dinesh, on my way home from Disney World this year, my kids were watching Disney movies on their tablets, and I was watching Death of a Nation. It was a nice cleanse between the fantasy of Disney World getting back into the real world. It's a wonderful film, and we really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the book, by the way, just out in paperback next week. So look for that as well. It's kind of a nice companion to the movie.
Yes, absolutely. Dinesh, great to speak with you. We look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.